Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Do you mind? We're playing through. Here's Froggy and Whacker.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Playing Through podcast. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran and the Morning Show. You can get us on social media anytime at Playing Through Podcast on Instagram, at Play Through Golf on Twitter. I am on both at Froggy Radio, and you can reach my co-host from Golf Digest, Brian Whacker. He is at Brian Whacker 1. We have had a very, very busy couple of weeks in the golf world, and of course, we've got a big week going on this week. So, Whacker, where do you want to start?
Why don't we start with your backyard now, TPC Sawgrass.
Yes.
Home of the Players Championship this week. I know you're super, super pumped about that. It is a big week, but you're right. There's so much going on right now. You got Tiger Woods not here this week. Of course, questions about his back. We have Rory McIlroy, defending champion this week, coming off another top five finish, but a disappointing one, obviously, at Bay Hill and what happened there in the final round. Brooks Koepka, we don't know sort of the state of his golf game right now. Granted, it's a small sample size, but he obviously hasn't exactly been on point of late. Coronavirus, even that's a topic of conversation. We've seen it impacting other sports potentially in other events. We talked about this last night at dinner, Froggy. Coachella now getting pushed back. They've canceled Ultra Music Festival in South by Southwest. So we've seen, as you mentioned, there's a lot going on here, both on the golf course and off it. But the first real big event of the year this week.
Yeah, so here we go. Some people like to refer to it as the fifth major. But what's really missing this weekend? Listen, it's going to be it's going to be a great event. Huge field. Weather's going to be absolutely perfect. Hopefully the wind won't blow as hard as it blew at the Honda and as it blew at the Arnold Palmer, sponsored by MasterCard, because it really, really wreaked havoc on the player. So hopefully we'll get some good play this week. But the big story coming out of TPC Sawgrass this week is no Tiger Woods. And I think we all thought after the Genesis, when he didn't play Mexico, he was just, you know, kind of gearing up. He had said he wanted to have the same ramp up this year that he had last year, and then it worked well. And last year he skipped the Arnold Palmer, he skipped Mexico, but he did play the Players. This year we're not getting the Players. What do you make of this? Is there more than what we're getting? Because as you know, we only get what they want us to know.
Yeah, we really don't know. I mean, look, his agent says that really the back's just not quite ready for this week. But who knows? Because in the past, as we've seen, we've heard comments like that, and then Tiger goes off and has surgery. So, you know, you really hope that that's not the case with the Masters just a month away. But look, I think we do have to take a step back, right? Because if you go back to last year, Tiger talked about it. He said, look, I'm going to play less going forward. And we only saw him, I don't know, 14 starts last year, I think, something like that. So, right. You know, this is the new normal, right?
Are you alarmed?
I am, yeah. I am alarmed from the standpoint of I am a little surprised he did not play this event because, look, it's a big, big tournament. He's won here twice. And one of those is recent. So the weather should be good. Not a problem there. You figured his back wouldn't tighten up here. But who knows? We just don't know what's going on. So, look, if he doesn't play until the Masters, I mean, yeah, that's a little bit of a concern.
Right. So that's my next question to you. So yeah. My next question is, what are the chances if you were to lay odds? Is there a 50-50 chance we see him at the Valspar? Because that's the only stroke play event he would really play. I know that we've got, after the Players, we've got the Valspar in Tampa. Then we've got Match Play. Then you've got Valero and the Masters. He has not, throughout his career, normally play the week before because he wants to use that to get ready. So we'll strike out Valero. So the only stroke play event left would be the Valspar, which, yes, he did play in 2018. He did finish second. So you do have that going for you. Or the Match Play could mean a lot of golf in a short amount of time. So do you see him playing either one of those?
Boy, I just don't know. I mean, I would think he would play at least one between now and Augusta because...
But not both.
But no, sir, I would be shocked if it was both because, look, that would be back-to-back weeks. I don't think we see that. I think we see him play either Tampa, which still seems unlikely to me. Right. I think that was a one-off situation. You know, Match Play, sure, it could be a lot of golf or it could just be three rounds of golf and that's it if he doesn't advance. So I'll be very curious to see how it goes. Look, bottom line is at the end of the day, at this point in his career, all that matter are major championships. And really, Augusta National and the Masters is really all that matters because that's a golf course, as we've seen throughout his career, he knows extremely well, can win there. Winning there, of course, last year, his first win there since 2005. So, look, he spent an incredible amount of time last year preparing for the Masters. That was the focus. Everything he did leading up to the Masters was to prepare for the Masters. So, clearly, I think that's the case here. That said, we still don't know the state of his back. And when you're 44 years old and have a fused back, there are no guarantees. So who knows what's going on with him medically right now?
I mean, being a Tiger Woods fan has really become a roller coaster ride. I mean, I remember we didn't know if he was going to play. Then last year we got all hyped up when he won the Masters, and then the rest of the year was very slow when we found out later on that he had had a knee procedure that we never even really knew about. And then the Zozo comes, and he lights it up at the Zozo and then goes to the President's Cup and plays really well, but has that one day he sits out and, I mean, was the best player, arguably, at the President's Cup. And then this year you're so ready for the year, and he shows up at the Genesis, and after nine holes he's tied for second, and he's on a run. And then he ends up finishing last of those who made the cut. And then now here we are. It's almost like you can't ever get the train out of the station and going full steam ahead because you don't know what's coming. So I'm not really sure what to expect. I still do have high hopes for Augusta. I'm not.
Yeah, what is that like for you as a fan? Because I come at it from a little bit different perspective. Look, we're all fans of Tiger Woods. We're all fans of greatness. But I come at it from a little bit different perspective. What is that like when you, because I don't know, I'm not sure I know a bigger Tiger fan than you, Frog. So it's, what is it frustrating? Is it, do you just get amped up every time he does play? Do you worry? What's your viewpoint from the couch?
I don't know what to expect. And that's the thing. It's like, for example, he comes out of the gate at the Genesis and after nine holes, he's T2. He's tied for second. I'm like, oh, we're on. Like we're gonna make another run here at a place at Riviera Country Club where he has not generally played well. I'm like, oh, here we go. He's figured this out. He's striking well. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it became weird. He was four putting from like 12 feet. I mean, it was, and to me, four putting from 12 feet is not a guy who's injured. That's a guy that just seems like he almost just didn't care. It seemed very lackadaisical. The ball striking was not terrible, it was just almost like non-care. I don't really know what to expect. However, I will say, I do think, and it sounds cliche, there's something about driving down Magnolia Lane that just does something for him. And so I do hope that the Masters will see it. I would like to see him play at least once. To use a Tiger term, I would like him to get some reps between now and Augusta. But nobody knows Tiger's body better than he does. And like we said earlier when we started talking about this, I don't even know that we really know everything that's going on. I know that we know what we've been told and what they want us to know.
Well, let's talk about who is here, because Rory McIlroy comes in on this unbelievable run of top five. Speaking of Tiger Woods, we haven't seen a run of top five finishes like this since the prime of his career, really. And what
but
do you make of...
But everybody says he's struggling.
Well, that's... Yeah, so it's... Of course, he's on this unbelievable run, but to your point, he's not winning titles. He's not closing out those opportunities, which, of course, look, it's unfair to compare him to Tiger, which I think we all sort of do knowingly or even subconsciously. Anytime any of these guys is leading a tournament, any of these top players, be it Rory, be it Justin Thomas. I actually just talked to Justin Thomas a little while ago about this, came up. And look, it's hard to close it out. I mean, even when you're in that position, you know, most guys are lucky if they close it out 10, 15% of the time. That's kind of where we're at with Rory. But what's your expectation for him this week?
You know, I think it is tough to defend, number one. I think it's always hard to defend when you won last year. I think you start – I mean, if you play golf regularly, and let's say you go to the golf course one day and you start out, you birdie the first hole, you par the second hole, you birdie the third hole, you're like, oh, I'm two under through three. And then the next day you go play again, and the next time you play, you're comparing yourself to last time. And so I think it's a little difficult to defend, number one. But number two, last week – If you watched any of that golf tournament last week, the Arnold Palmer, that golf course ate up everybody. It didn't just eat up Roy McIlroy, and everybody else is playing great. As many, quote, blow-up holes as he had, or the two stretches that he had on Saturday and Sunday, he still finished top five. I know at the Honda that he had a chance to close it out and did not close it out there either. But either way, I think Rory's going to be in the mix this week. I just think... this golf course is hard. I've played it. I've lived in Jacksonville now a year, and I've played the golf course, I think, six times in a year. And I'm not comparing myself to Rory McIlroy. Trust me, I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is I know how hard this golf course is, and I know if you're out of position that it can really bite you in the ass. And so it'll be difficult to defend, but I do think Rory will have a good week. I'm not exactly sure that he'll be able to pull off a second win. But with that being said, this golf course cannot be overpowered. I know he hits it a long ways. I know Brooks hits it a long ways. DJ hits it a long ways. Go back and look at the guys that win this golf course. It's not generally your bombers. It's guys who are very good ball strikers. Rory is a good ball striker, which gives him a chance, but I think it gives other guys a chance as well.
Is it disappointing if he finishes, let's say, top 10 even? Is that a disappointment, or is that just gone? Because here's the thing. I think we get wrapped up in this. As soon as a guy gets in contention, i.e. a Rory, we're like, here we go. You know,
he's supposed to win.
Right. He's supposed to win. He's supposed to close it out. So let's just say he's in contention again on Sunday, but ends up finishing 5th, 10th, you know, 8th. Is that disappointing?
Yes, because you used the words in contention on Sunday. So if he's not in contention and he finishes, you know, top 10, that's fine. But if he's got, you know, let's be honest, at the Arnold Palmer, I think it was on the fourth hole, he tied the lead. If he's in contention on Sunday and then goes backwards, say on that closing stretch, 16, 17, 18, that doesn't birdie 16 or you know, hits one in the water on 17 or doesn't play 18 well, yeah, I think it is a disappointment. If he's in contention and doesn't close the deal, I don't think it makes him a choker or makes it somebody who can't close the deal. But I think it is a little bit of a disappointment, and I think Rory would agree in that he wants to win this golf tournament. Nobody has I don't know about ever, but nobody since it's been here at TPC has repeat has there been a back-to-back repeat champion?
Right. We've rarely seen that here in the history of the event, period. So, but it is fascinating to me. You go back to some of this, you mentioned Bay Hill. Mexico had a chance to win there as well. So it's fascinating to me when these guys are in position. And I think we just, we're just all victims of Tiger Woods here. Really, this is like Tiger Woods syndrome to
right.
me, where these guys, be it Rory, again, be it Justin Thomas, John Rahm, whoever it is, among those, the sort of upper echelon of player, Brooks Koepka, you know, when they don't do it, it's like they're choking or they're, now look, I do think there's, Rory does have a little bit of a history when you're continuously in those positions going into the last day and you don't get it done in the final day. Now look, some days you've mentioned Bay Hill. I mean, that was playing extremely difficult. Nobody played well.
Right.
Rory didn't play horrendously, but didn't play well enough, obviously, to win. There are other times in the year where he'll simply make mental mistakes or a player will make a mistake. You know, then there are times when he gets outplayed. So it's interesting to me that when a guy like Rory is in contention but doesn't get it done, you know, what effect does that have on them? Do they feel like, does that start to grate on them or wear on them? You know, Justin Thomas, we've seen him kind of get upset with himself a few times. He's had a really wild year of sort of won, of course, right out of the box in Maui, then misses the cut at Sony in tough, windy conditions, kind of really out of character conditions. For what we saw there. And then, you know, we've seen him contend since, and then we've seen him miss the cut. So it's just fascinating to me. This is why one of the things that makes golf so interesting, it's, you know, you watch LeBron or the Lakers and they get a lead and they close it out, right? Where golf, it's really rare when guys close it out.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing, is that I think a lot of times today's players are compared to, we watched, you know, Tiger in his closing stretch where, you know,
for so long. Yeah.
Right. And so they're being compared to that, and that's what we expect. And so that's probably not a fair comparison. Now, it brings me to a next name that we've brought up two or three times now in Brooks Koepka. Is Brooks, I think Brooks, by his own admission, is somewhat struggling a little bit. I've seen him on the range after rounds.
Did you see his quote after on Sunday?
Yeah, I know he said he basically doesn't give a shit, but I mean, I just...
No, he said he played like shit.
Right, he did. So yeah. I've seen him on the range after rounds and working with his coach and trying to get it straightened out. What do you make of this? Is this rust off the knee procedure and lack of playing? Or, because let's be honest, Brooks Koepka, for the greater portion of 2 years, made golf look ridiculously easy. I mean, ridiculous. I mean, almost aloof, like he didn't care, like he wasn't trying, and he would show up at a regular event and not play well, and you think, oh, well, maybe it's a little bit of a slump, and then he'd show up at a major and just blow the doors off the place, and he made golf look ridiculously easy, and he had the whole, it's fashion, bro, it's just golf, bro, like, I mean, none of it really mattered. But there appears to be a little bit of a struggle going on now. What do you make of this?
Well, yeah, clearly he's not happy with where his game is at the moment. You know, sometimes there's been a day where it's been putting. There's been days where it's been the ball striking. You know, it wouldn't shock me, you know, if we heard that he was working on some things with his game, and we'll get a chance to talk to him this week, but to find out exactly what he's working on. But I do love the sort of matter of fact bluntness that he takes in that, you know, on Sunday at Bay Hill, basically it was, you know, I'm playing like shit. And, you know, they said, look, I don't think you can say that on the podium.
He's,
you know,
like, he said, whatever. Find me then.
Find me. Yeah, that's great, right? Like, I just love the just don't give a shit sort of nonchalance, bluntness with which he approaches it. But also, I do think there's something to, look, does he care if he wins the Honda Classic? Sure, he wants to win the event he's playing. And of course, I think he takes that to every tournament he plays. But is he going to lose sleep over it? Probably not.
No.
It's all about major championships. We've seen him peak. We've heard his coach talk about this, him peaking for the majors. Those are what really matter at the end of the day to him, and then everything else is secondary. So I don't think Brooks is concerned about it at the moment. Now, look, if he comes out this week and doesn't play well, I think, yeah, that would be something to keep an eye on. But again, this goes back to the Tiger syndrome. This goes back to expecting these guys, the top players, to play well every time they tee it up or every time they're in contention. And that just doesn't happen in golf. It just,
no.
There are, you know, Tiger is a rare breed in that. And he would win, say, you know, 25, 30% clip at the prime of his career during a season. And we just don't see that from other guys. Be it, even if a guy does do it in a particular year, even if Brooks, or we saw it with Jordan Spieth, or we've seen it with Rory McIlroy, or we've seen it with Jason Day, you know, that's just not sustainable. You just don't see guys. I mean, think how far off Jordan Spieth is right now from where he was 5 years ago.
Unbelievable.
I know it breaks your heart, by the way. But,
oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I know you're crushed over that.
I am.
Which I can't figure out why you have all this Jordan Spieth hate. But but look, he is almost lost right now with his game. So to me, it's fascinating in that I think we just get wrapped up in this guy should win, this guy should win, this guy should win. You know, what's wrong with Brooks when he's only had a handful of rounds? I think this is just golf. The fascinating thing to me is this, to see when it changes, how it changes. And look, I think Brooks will be just fine, but it will be curious to see how he plays this week, because again, this is a place he should play well at. And of course the Masters a month away, that's another place that he should play well at.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not willing to say it's a slump yet until,
right,
until he does go to a major championship, and at that major championship he struggles. Then at that point, I'm willing to go, okay, we've got a problem. Right now, I'm not sure if it's just Brooks just doesn't care, and he's not really or is he just prepping for Augusta, and that's why we are where we are now anyways.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I mean, I think you look at Jordan Spieth, again, that would be considered a slump. We've had this prolonged stretch where he hasn't played well. He hasn't won. He's had some really down stretches during that time. He's playing a little bit better these days than he was, say, a year ago. But, again, that would be considered a slump. Again, not really fair to compare everything he does to 2015 because, again, that was a historical season. And that's just not sustainable. So it's fascinating to watch. And that sort of circles back to Rory. I mean, look, this is a guy who has said he'd rather finish, you know, top five every week and be in position to win and maybe not win than win and miss a bunch of cuts. Because
right,
obviously if you miss the cut, you have no chance of winning. So I get it from that perspective, but at the same time, it's this weird balance because to me, it's all about winning. So, you know, but circling back and bringing back to Rory and the fact that he's putting himself in these positions every week is remarkable. And then you've got a guy like Brooks who clearly is off his game at the moment. But would anyone really be surprised if he turned up and won this week?
No.
I mean,
at all. And that's the thing is, the noise of people saying what's wrong with Brooks, I think it drives Brooks. I don't think he worries about what people think, which brings me to another guy who I don't really think he gives a shit what people think. And I think he thrives off of it is Patrick Reed. And
amazing, isn't it?
And I mean, for example, we'll go back to, say he wins Mexico. During that same week, Brooks makes the harsh comments about sandcastles and he knew what he was doing. And Peter Costas says he, quote, witnessed him cheat, that he had a lie that was terrible, and he patted it down at least on two different occasions. He gave very good explanations of it. I mean, and here's the guy now, and Patrick Reed, and this is a pretty amazing stat when you think about this. Patrick Reed has 8 wins on the PGA Tour. Do you know that that is currently 1 more than Brooks Koepka, 2 more than Webb Simpson, 3 more wins than Ricky Fowler, 4 more wins than Gary Woodland, 5 more than Paul Casey, 6 more than Lee Westwood, and 7 more wins than Tony Finau. Patrick
Reed. That's a great stat.
And the guy does not care. He performs every week, no matter what noise is going on around him.
And to your point, I think there is something in him that relishes all that controversy, that relishes sort of being the guy in the black hat, being the bad guy. And look, he'll tell you that he doesn't view himself that way, but I think deep down, you know, I think there is part of him that has this chip on his shoulder, and it's been there for a long time because of everything that's been said about him dating back to his college days. You know, that he's this enigmatic figure that thrives in controversy. Right. And it's remarkable to me from that standpoint that no matter what happens, no matter who says what, I mean, we saw it in Mexico, to your point. It was like he was living in some alternate universe.
No, if you remember in Mexico, he didn't back into that. He didn't back into that win in Mexico. He went out and made a ton of birdies on the closing nine holes to take that victory away. And none of the noise bothers him. He just plays through it as if it doesn't happen. And then when it's brought up, he blows it off like it's no big deal.
It's really incredible. And here's a fun tidbit, by the way, for our listeners. Patrick will be in the interview room this week at TPC Sawgrass on Wednesday at, I believe, 2 p.m. And immediately following him, the next guy on the lineup card is, drumroll, Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
So that could be a fun little moment as one exits and the other enters.
Right.
I think that could be a very that could be an entertaining moment. Of course, we'll probably get nothing out of it, but it will be fascinating to see how that plays out, because as you mentioned, Patrick was well aware that I was there in Mexico a few weeks ago. He was well aware of what Brooks said, didn't seem to care much, hasn't really distracted him a whole lot. I mean, he admitted sort of that the noise, you know, there is a lot of noise and he's aware of it, and it maybe does get to him a little bit, but if anything, it doesn't seem to, it seems to push his golf even further. So it'll be fascinating to see how that plays out on Wednesday afternoon here at TPC.
Yeah, so speaking of this week's tournament at TPC Sawgrass, yesterday on Twitter, there was a rumor that I'm not exactly sure how much validity there is. I know that there is some investigation going on into this year's PGA Championship is scheduled to be held in Harding Park, San Francisco. And yesterday there was a tweet that went out that said that they were investigating the possibility, because of all the cancellations, like you had said earlier, South by Southwest and Austin was canceled, Ultra Music Fest in Miami, Kyocho in Miami, Tortuga Music Festival in Fort Lauderdale. They have not made a decision yet on that. Coachella was moved to October. There's lots of things being moved. And so they're saying that if San Francisco and California come to the tour and say, hey, or to the PGA of America and say, hey, you can't hold your event here because we don't want a mass amount of crowd, or if you do hold it here, you can't have fans. There is some talk of moving the PGA Championship to TPC Sawgrass here in Ponte Vedra. Have you heard any more on that? Do you think this is a big possibility? Where do you think it's headed?
Well, I did reach out to a source when that came out, somebody who would be privy to those conversations. And yes, it in fact is being discussed, the potential of moving PGA Championship to TPC Sawgrass, which is a funny little side note to that would be then finally a major would be held. That would end the fifth major debate, because a major would finally be held at TPC Sawgrass. But yes, I do think this is a possibility that they would move it from Harding Park in San Francisco to TPC Sawgrass. One of the reasons being that if they did need to move the event, they would be able to do so because the infrastructure is in place here at Sawgrass to hold it. It obviously can hold a major championship. You know, it has all the infrastructure in place to be able to handle crowds, etc. And there's a bit of a partnership between the PGA Tour and PGA of America.
How would they change the golf course? So they would obviously have to make it, I'm guessing, harder than what it's going to play this week, needed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the other end of it, right? This tournament, the Players' Championship, has been held in May before. So they would know how to go about setting up the golf course to be able to do that. So I think we would see very similar to what we saw for 10 years when this event was played in May, and that was a sort of burnt out, hard, fast golf course. So it'd be fascinating. Now, look, I think we're still a little ways from that decision being made. Another potential could be Valhalla, which is owned by the PGA of America. It's held Ryder Cups before, so forth. It's got the infrastructure there where they could put that together quickly enough to be able to move it there in Kentucky. But again, I think we're a little ways away from getting to that point. But again, it's
You're talking May 14th. I mean, would be a very quick turnaround. They would be playing on this golf course in a matter of twice in 2 months.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think those decisions will be made in the coming weeks, obviously, because, again, to your point, we're 2 months away. So I would have to think they would need, I would expect, logically, probably about a month at minimum to be able to make that decision and get this place turned around to be able to hold the PGA Championship. Another potential one thing that's been talked about, and we've seen this in other leagues, is no fans, right? But I don't know that that would be a realistic option for a lot of reasons, holding a major championship without any fans there, because you're still going to have a fair number of people on the ground at the golf course, be it media, players, officials, et cetera, not nearly as many as you would if there were no fans, but it would also be an odd look. I think that would, the preference would probably be, I would have to think, would be to move it rather than do that. So, but it'll be interesting. I'll talk to Commissioner Jay Monahan later this morning, and we may have an update by the time this podcast drops.
Yeah. So the coronavirus is having repercussions all over the world. Mm-hmm. People are making changes and doing things and changing the way. I know this week at the players, there's going to be multiple hand washing stations. They've added a bunch, and they are allowing people. Usually you can't bring any liquid into the facility. They're allowing you to bring in your own hand sanitizer and doing all they can to help people stay clean. It is an outdoor event, which obviously is a lot of fresh air involved, but still people from all over the world coming in together and having contact and doing whatnot. A lot of people not shaking hands. They're giving players the option to not sign autographs this week. They've told them they can stay away. We have to do what's smart, but at the same time, continue on and have the events while we can. And in other countries like Italy, they've shut the entire country down.
Yeah, it's quite amazing to see. In a very sort of concerning way, to see the impact that this is having across the world. And then you look at the U.S. and we haven't obviously had quite the repercussions that other places have. But it is something obviously that the tour is looking at. It's something that PGA of America is looking at. I think certain tournaments, it sounds like the Match Play Championship in Austin, where of course South by Southwest is held every year, that match play will go on.
Yes.
As of right now, I don't think that will change. It's certainly a bizarre time we live in at the moment.
Is there any chance at all that you've heard of the Masters being affected?
I think the short answer there is no. I can't imagine it would be. We have not heard of a lot of cases breaking out there in Georgia. Also, I just have not heard anything in terms of them.
I don't think the members at Augusta National will let coronavirus on the sites. I think we're good.
Yeah, it's almost like, I'm sure they have a protective bubble over the place. I mean, if you can't find, if squirrels, look, I've covered, I think, a dozen of those things, and I've never seen a squirrel on the property. So if squirrels can't get in, then, we're probably okay.
Right. Speaking of the tour and everything going on, yesterday a major announcement was made about the new TV deal. And so how exactly, you are much more well-versed on this, as a fan, how does the new TV deal affect me as a fan? Does it give me more access? Does it give me the ability to watch more golf? Because this week, for example, maybe we've been remiss in mentioning, this week will be the very first time that a PGA Tour event, you will be able to watch every single shot hit from the opening tee shot on Thursday morning until the final putt drops on Sunday afternoon. There will not be one shot hit that won't be on camera. You'll be able to see it streaming if you have PGA Tour Live. It's the first time they've done this, and I know they're trying to do this more and more. So how does the new TV deal affect me as the fan, and are they trying to give us more access?
Yes, in short is the answer, because what you'll see, for example, this week, as you mentioned, every shot live, so you'll have the ability to see literally every shot live as it happens on the NBC Sports Gold app. But ultimately, this new TV deal, one of the sort of side notes to it is the fact that the tour will take over production of these events. So what that ultimately means is it'll give them the ability to show more in various capacities, various forms, various feeds, various highlight packages. There's really endless possibilities when you think about it, because they will literally own, as they do, and control all of the content and material. That said, they will also control the message. So I'm curious to see how this plays out for the viewer. In other words, they are going to present the product as they would like it presented. So it's effectively like state television. So what will that ultimately mean when controversial situations arise, be it a rule situation? You could take Patrick Reed, for example, as an extreme example in what happened in the Bahamas. You could take some of the post-round commentary as another example. There are all sorts of things, rule situations. So I'm very curious to see how it plays out. A side effect, of course, is that I think you'll, you know, this is sort of inside baseball, if you will, or inside golf, is that obviously it'll mean a loss of jobs. We've seen the announcement that Golf Channel, for example, will be moving to Connecticut from Orlando, where it'll be absorbed effectively by NBC Sports. All of this said, from a viewer experience, how will it affect the product? I think, as I mentioned, one, it will provide more content. Two, it will be more controlled content from the tour's perspective, meaning the tour will control the storyline and the message. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in terms of what direction they take that and just how much their fingerprints are on that.
Now, will we still get the Golf TV stuff that we've been getting? Because Golf TV has a deal as well. So we still get that. We still have the deal with Tiger where we're getting post-round interviews and more. So will that continue as well?
Yes, that's obviously a separate deal. That will continue. And of course, for folks outside the United States, that's a way for them to get their golf coverage because NBC Sports, of course, only available in the U.S. So, I think this is interesting times, certainly from a media perspective, in terms of the direction of golf coverage and where it goes from here, and ultimately the tour having more control over that.
So here we are this week. We've got the Players' Championship. Next week, we move on to the Valspar in Tampa. And then we maybe may see Tiger there, if not, and maybe the match play. And then the Valero. And then we will get our first major of the year, the Masters. So in closing, Wacker, I'll go first since I'm going to ask you.
Here. I know where you're going. Prediction.
So prediction week. I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you one sentimental, and I'm going to give you one who I think could be there at the end. My sentimental is I would love to see Billy Horschel win a home game. I would love to see my fellow Gator and friend Billy Horschel get a home game. He lives right down the street from TPC Sawgrass. I'd love to see him get a win. But I do think Tommy Fleetwood is going to be in position to play very well this week. And I think Tommy Fleetwood might close the deal that that we weren't able to get closed earlier in the year. So my pick is Tommy Fleetwood.
Well, everyone can stop talking about Tommy having never won on the PGA Tour, and that will end that debate.
Correct.
Tyrrell Hatton did last week.
Yeah. It should have happened at the Honda, and we all hit bad golf shots. It happens. He hit a bad golf shot, but I respect the fact that he went for it. So I have no problem with Tommy Fleetwood's ending.
And he'll have won on that PGA Tour.
Right. That PGA Tour, yeah, Mr. Exactly. Azinger. Yes. Who's your pick?
I'm going to go very traditional here. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to give you two as well.
Okay.
I'm going to go Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
Who is, look, this guy's a big game player. I talked to a number of caddies for an anonymous caddy survey I have coming up. And in terms of fearlessness, that guy's name came up time and time and time again. And as one of the most underrated players in the game, big events, he plays well. I'm going to go Xander. And the other pick, I'm going to go Brooks. I'm
going to
say Brooks. Yeah. You say he rights the ship, turns it around. I expect him to play well.
Well, we'll find out early. And I mean, listen, this golf course can bite back really quickly. The second shot on the fourth hole is no gimme shot. I mean, there really is some hard holes on the front nine. Obviously, the back nine is extremely well documented in 16, 17, and 18. But it'll be interesting to see. It should be a fun week. I love watching this golf tournament on television. I will be there and watching a lot of it in person. And we will be back next week with a post players recap with the champion, and who knows, maybe we'll be talking about watching Tiger Woods in the first tournament of the year at the Valspar, or maybe then we'll have a commitment to the match play in Austin. So thanks for your time, Wacker. I'll be out at the golf course. We have a concert tonight, by the way, the Chainsmokers live on 17.
Yeah, big gut for the players getting the Chainsmokers and a non-country act for change. So looking forward to that. That should be fun.
Yeah, so bring your glow sticks and your fist pumping. We'll be on the 17th green tonight with the Chainsmokers. It is time for the Players' Championship. This is the Playing Through Podcast.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.